Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the January 25th, 2011 meeting of the Board of Education of the West Covina Unified School District. Let's see. We are going to go into closed session, but before we go into closed session, we're going to closed session to talk about the readmittance of three students, public employee discipline, dismissal, release, transfer, and appointment, and then conference with our labor negotiators. Is there anybody that would like to comment regarding any of these issues before we go to closed session? Seeing none, we will go to closed session at 7:35. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are back in session, regular session for the regular meeting of the Board of Education, West Covina Unified School District. This evening we will be led, we'll have it lead by with an invocation. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to give an invocation? If not, Mr. Spence will lead us in an invocation, followed by flag salute by Mrs. Eileen.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can gather here as the West Covina Unified School District Board of Trustees and as concerned citizens and as staff and students. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to be here and to celebrate successes in our schools and to do the business. And we ask a blessing on this meeting in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please. Here.
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Ms. Solis?
Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Ms. Matilla?
Here.
Ms. Castillo?
Here.
Thank you. All right. We did meet in closed session and we did take action on one item. The following action was taken in closed session on January 25th, 2011, with subsequent action being reported in open session as required by law. It was moved by Cami Polis, seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez, that the following students have completed their terms and conditions of expulsion and have been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. Student number 179583. Student number 160359, student number 175667, and the votes on all three were 5-0. And all of them the expulsions will be lifted and enrolled in the district, either in West Covina High School or the district of residence. Okay. And with that, we have a wonderful opportunity to recognize the West Covina High School varsity football team CIF champions. And we're pleased to have Mike McJoy.
Yes, first of all, thank you all very much. And if I can call forward Principal Rubalcava and Coach Majori, would you please come to the podium? And you can introduce your coaches and your team. And Mr. Cox, if you would join them.
Okay, first of all, thank you for having us here tonight. It's a great honor to be here. I'm extremely proud of the group of guys that I coach. I'm fortunate. I think I get more out of it than they do. The fact that we won is nice, but I was proud of them either way. I think they get a lot out of being in a program such as football. All these guys work extremely hard. We ask a lot of them. And it's a great high school to work at, and I'm proud not only to be. I went to school in West Covina. I've been working here 18 years. I love it here. These guys make me proud, not just because they won, but because the type of people they are and how much effort they put in and the character that they show. I'm extremely proud of them. It's a great opportunity for me coaching football. I just wanted to say this. A lot of my colleagues I talk to, they complain about they can't get on-campus coaches. They have trouble with this and that. Well, we have a great facility at West Covina. We have 11 of our coaches are on campus, which is tremendous. It's double double that of any other school that I know of. So I'm in a great position. I take a lot of this credit for the program and how it's going, but there's a lot of things to it, and I want to thank the school district, the board, and the administration, the superintendent for helping us out and making my life and all of our lives a lot easier. There's a few guys that came today, John Logan. Marcus Gomez, Mark Laffin, Rigo Castillo, Zach Gonzalez, and Jimmy Frazier. A lot of our kids have, I think 35 of them from the varsity team had over a 3.0 GPA. They do a great job in the classroom. A lot's expected of them, and this year we had a lot of success on the field too, so we're very fortunate, and I'm very proud. So thanks for having us, and hopefully we can be back up here sometime soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
This plaque is presented to Coach Mike Maggiore and the 2010 Bulldog coaching staff in honor of the CIS Southern Section Southeast Division Championship, West Covina Unified School District, January 25th, 2011.
Thank you.
Okay. This is actually presented to the school and to the team. But before I read this, I do want to take a moment to recognize at least two of the fellas. Now, the whole offensive line isn't here,
yeah.
But it was also, between John and Mark. Right? Is there any other story? Just John and Mark. It was incredible to watch the backfield that we had, the talent that we had, but to see each of them sort of pick their spots behind these guys as they're running out of the field. These guys are quick, they're strong, and extremely talented, and it just made... is it Jimmy?
Jimmy,
it made your job really easy, didn't it? Absolutely. Yeah, so congratulations. So West Covina Unified School District recognizes West Covina High School 2010 varsity football team in honor of their CIS Southern Section Southeast Division Championship. And I trust that you'll display that proudly at the school.
I will. Thank you very much.
We have CDs of pictures of all of you in action, so we hope that you will enjoy that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and we have one more presentation. Let's do that right now. From Edgewood Middle School English Learner Team, and I'd like to call to the front Mark Travatore.
We have a flag football team.
Microphone's working.
But thank you nonetheless for this opportunity for us to showcase the talent, not only within our faculty, but with those of our folks who are working with language learners to close that achievement gap. I'd like to thank you, Ms. Castillo, for giving this opportunity, and of course all board members and cabinet. And thank you for community members for being here. Let me preface the presentation with the fact that we're not content with where we are. This is a moving target. Of course, we're continuing to evolve. We're not at the finish line, and we're not content on resting on our laurels yet. Basically, what we want to do is just celebrate the growth we've achieved. And again, we're not satisfied, and I can speak for the team here, until every language learner at our school has closed the achievement gap and is performing at proficiency across the board. So I really have to point out that our growth is a reflection on the collaboration of our teachers, not only with the English Language Arts Department, but across the curriculum in all content areas. It couldn't have been achieved without that. And we kind of have an adage at Edgewood that what's good for the best is good for the rest, and that, of course, applies to our language learners. So just a brief overview of our data. We had 54 language learners last year, which constitutes approximately 8% of our enrollment. And to put our growth in context, as a school, we moved forward 20 points API, but our language learners tripled that. We moved forward 65 points, so we're really happy with that. And without getting too deep in the data, when you look at AYP, which is kind of separate from API, This is the first time, as far as I could research, that Edgewood Middle School met AYP in language arts and math. And, you know, way back when we were a PI school, that was an area that was kind of holding us back as a school with that. So we're really happy that we've dedicated a lot of resources into closing the achievement gap with those kids. Of course, we're not content with where we are. Got a lot of work to go. And that's just one metric when you look at how they score when they take a test. We also look at our reclassification rate as well. And we're happy to boast that we had 21% of our language learners reclassified last year as well. So that's something that we really want to trumpet here tonight. You may ask why, and I'll just kind of go through briefly before we present the team here. What strategies and practices do we attribute to this growth? Well, I think it really starts with our counseling team, because what they did is they brought in every single language learner and their parent at the beginning of the year to kind of set the tone and explain, this is the reclassification process to the students and the parents, and this is why you need to get reclassified, and this is how you're going to do it. So I think that parent education, student education piece was huge, and we were able to sell some of our intervention programs and get the parents to commit to bringing them every day to study hall, and when we had the Rosetta program opened up and our Saturday academies and the rest of it. But that was one aspect. Of course, the ground level in the trenches in the classroom, that was key. So what we did is we set up individual learning programs, ILPs, much like IEPs with a student with disability, for all of our kids. And this was in math and language arts. So every language learner in math and language arts had an ILP. And what we do with those is track their progress on a quarterly basis. And there's always an instructional response to it. So we evaluate the data, see where the gaps are, and then the teachers will, again, assign targeted intervention to the kids. And we have specific targeted intervention strategies. So it could be explicit direct instruction. It could be checking for understanding, non-linguistic representations like thinking maps, things of that nature, tests, other proximity strategies, and, of course, you've heard of SDI and GLAAD. And that's within the instructional instructional day. We also had the Rosetta program as an intervention, and that was after school on Wednesdays. And we presented to the kids as this isn't detention, this isn't something punitive, it's we need you to get reclassified and do better in your classes type of thing. So we really relied on the parental support for that to make sure the kids came. And, you know, we're treating them. You know, we'll give them different vouchers and passes for speed zone and in and out and things like that because you're not in trouble. And I think at one point we gave them snacks and treats and kind of as an incentive to come, that piece of it. And also during instruction in language arts, a couple days a week, we do have a pull-out program where we take them to the media center, and they also access the Rosetta program too. To supplement the core instructional materials, we purchased some more the comprehension kits through Buckle Down. And then right before start testing, we had the Saturday academies where we, again, gave more intense instruction into review. So, again, I'd like to conclude that we're going to refine our efforts and we're going to continue to grow and evolve as a school. And what we're doing is specific with language arts in this regard, but it also spills over to our other subgroups as well with our students with disabilities. So that being said, I think did we want to introduce the team?
Yeah, Mr. Cox, or? If you go forward, he's going to read the names for us.
Yes.
All of our folks could be here tonight, but the majority of them could.
He has
could.
It in order.
Yeah,
he has
that list. I'm sorry. Look at there. We have Miss Ellen Bazaire, language arts teacher. We have Miss Roxanne Crawford. She's our ELL coordinator, language arts teacher, and lots of hats she wears. Miss Lorette Sauter. She decided to go rogue and not wear black like the rest of us. We have Mr. John Anderson is our department chair. And two of our science teachers couldn't make it in social studies, and a couple from math. But our counselors are here, so we have Ms. Sarah Arcee.
Thank you very much.
And last but not least, Ms. Harris, counselors. And my right-hand man, Mr. Martinez, he helps out sometimes.
Thank you very much for coming out tonight. And we know that it takes an extraordinary team effort to get these results, and we appreciate that you have done that. And you're showing the way for the rest of our departments and the rest of our schools. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Travatore.
Right. Thank you very much. All right. We're going to take a five-minute break and enjoy some refreshments out in front.
Yeah. He knew that in order to redesignate him, they have to understand what that means and why it's important. So he took the lead on that. I mean, people are finally doing that. It's very important what they're doing. And others are starting to perk up and go, oh, okay.
I like that you went over.
You know, my daughter's parents turned out wonderful. I just sent you a disc. Would I send that just?
You know, I can come by and get it.
So I can just drop it in an envelope.
I'm 3 blocks from here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I walk around with everyone. That would be part of it. I just love the strategy that has to be together.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to find it then. Because I loaned it to the yearbook staff so that they can take some pictures off of it.
Absolutely right.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
You can call the district
or Mr. Awesome. Yeah, there.
Yeah. And I can come in the front
beautiful,
office and
beautiful
get
girl.
Thank you. Very, very good. Quite spirited.
Yes.
Yes.
And thank you for supporting our book.
Oh, they love it. Oh, my God. Did you see it? They love it. When I told them we were going to go again this year, they were super excited. They used the poetry to do their reading because they go to Edison to get to fill in a reading log. And they have two books of poetry. One is quite special. So they love reading the poetry. And they keep it in their backpacks. And I don't know, did I tell you the fun little story about why it's a
Malala? It's been rumored, and
the
story's been passed around, but you can tell me, though.
So my little ones loved it, actually.
Something about Hello Dolly? Or?
Well, they're in this year in Hello Dolly. They loved it. The poetry club last year, the first time they did. And they got the booklet, you know, the staff provided the booklet, and so they tried to get some signatures, and they didn't get everybody off. Well, then they show up at Hello Dolly and why it's love. So my littlest, my seven-year-old, the very spirited one, said, Mom, why is it always Hello Dolly? I want to get his autograph. So she gets the booklet, she gets a Sharpie marker, she puts it in her folder, so that the next time she could go to rehearsal, he could sign his two poems. So she missed his autograph, which was very sad.
There must be a way of getting it.
Well, I'm sure we'll run into him again, but it was so cute because that's how much they loved Poetry Slam. They wanted, and so she got Lisa? Lisa with the curly, curly hair? Yes. She got Lisa's signature on her booklet.
She's quite a girl.
She got her signature.
I had her older sisters, and they're so unalive. Older sisters are reserved, quiet, and shy.
Yeah, Lisa's very outspoken. She's definitely very demanding. Yeah, have to be channeled so that she can.
Yes, she does. She's channeled.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's
good to see you again.
Congratulations, sir.
Michael.
Yeah.
go.
Yeah, they're on the swim team. So I know them a little differently than people think of them here, yeah.
I want to go to this private school in San Diego. I want to be an architect.
Okay, what's your school?
Woodbury University.
Oh, okay.
I actually haven't applied yet, so I'll do till March.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so then I'll probably find out a month later. I think that's what I said.
Want to stay in California? Yeah. All right, well, we'll be seeing you.
Thank you.
You say you have basketball practice tonight?
Yeah. It started at 7, but I'm okay. I told them I'd be a little late.
All right.
My wife died, and she was a fool. And I was young once, so that was a fool. And I was poor, and I was a fool for that too.
Bruce, did you want to speak? Bruce.
How's it going?
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Long time no see. You've been
with us. Good. I want to thank you for opening up the parking lot.
Wasn't that good?
I was shocked.
Good PR. Good. And we need to have our visitors have space.
Yeah.
Me too. Alex is going to get all the credit because I said, Alex, you know, we really need to do something, but not just people don't rebel. So he did himself personally. He goes, whoever wants that part, he did it just like what people volunteered to. It wasn't like, you must not participate. You know, he did it. So I'm proud of him.
All right, Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah, no, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling better than I have, so put on a few, so I got to work those down.
I know because I hear from Dr. Tennant that it's just up the street.
I was thinking I've been yelling, it didn't work.
Very good. It's healthy. Yeah.
All right, we are back in session. We will continue.
Proud of him.
Let's see, I have nothing to report out. Board of Education report, anybody?
I wanted to congratulate the entire district. I went to the production of Hello Dolly. And they did a fabulous job, all the students. Every single school was represented. They had students in the production. Mr. Zinski and the music coordinators, everybody. The costumes were amazing. The kids did a really good job. It was an excellent production, so I wanted to congratulate all the cast and crew of Hello Dolly.
All right. Thank you very much. Student representative report.
So finals are done. It's a new semester. Yesterday it was a student-free day. Unfortunately, it wasn't a staff-free day, but they were here. They had staff development, and they worked on their thinking maps and their plans for the semester. Also, this Thursday is college night. It's at 6 in the gym. And so there's going to be different sessions for UC's, Cal State, privates, and community college. And also, when a formal just passed, it was a fun dance. It was at the Navy Golf Course. Also, our school production was Grease. It was at the Baldwin Park Theater. That one was also went well. See, boys and girls soccer is this Friday. Boys and girls basketball is Wednesday and Friday home. Girls water polo is this Thursday. And Next Tuesday is wrestling senior night, so I hope you guys are able to make it. It's their last match at home. And also upcoming is Mr. Bulldog. It's February 18th, and then the Spring Sports Rally is February 25th.
All right, thank you. And my understanding is that there's a basketball team waiting for your presence. All right, so thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being here, and thank your coach for us. And tell him that you're the board president has excused you from from running the lines this evening. So,
okay, thank
yeah.
You.
All right.
So have to run extra.
Perhaps so. Maybe I ought not say anything about it. All right, we've got the items from the floor this evening. The first person to speak is Iso Nakasato.
Yes,
sorry?
Good.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, members, board members, and residents. My name is Iso Nakasato. I'm here on behalf of Assembly Member Mr. Roger Hernandez. And I am here first and foremost, he wanted to actually be here and express to the football team how proud he is of the CIF championship. And he actually bought a DVD and was very excited. He bought it from Mr. Bruce Leinbach here. Yeah, he bought two of them. And he was very excited to watch them. We actually had a little viewing party. So we were very excited, throwing popcorn in the air, and it was as if we were there. So it was very exciting, and we're very proud. And we gave all the athletes certificates from the assembly member's office, and we gave one of recognition for the entire school also. And we were also there present at the bonfire at West Covina, well, at the Civic Center. But I am also here to introduce myself to you all and to the community. I will be the field representative for West Covina, and I am also a resident of West Covina. I've lived here for the last 28 years, and I just want to extend my services to you, that I'm here at your service, and I'm ready to work hard and work hand in hand with everyone here. So we have no business cards as of yet. We just moved offices, but I will be back, and I will give everyone business cards and exchange contact information with everyone here. All right? Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Where is your office? We are off Barranca, the Wells Fargo Tower, so we're really close. Yes, we're all in-house. Even Dr. Ed Hernandez's group, we're all in West Covina. So you have lots of representation just in this area. So really good. Okay.
Thank you very much. Bruce Leinbach.
First of all, I want to congratulate the West Covina football team for being the CIF champions in their division. Haven't missed a game in 21 years. So I follow him arduously. Mr. Steve, we sit many games together. So it's a great game. And I also want to say something. When Mr. Maggiore came to our school originally, he started out as part-time swim coach, besides being the football team. And my sons were on a swim team, and they all thought that he did a great job. He related to the kids, down earth, his heart in the right place. He's there to help the people. He's there to create the team atmosphere. I remember when we were swimming, I challenged him to a race that, because when he was in high school, he swam the 50 yards. Like you know, he played college, but he says one of the reasons why I never ever got injured playing football because I swam so much. Mm-hmm. So he attributes it to that, you know. So he's going to swim 50, I was going to swim 25. I had to pull out of the race because my swimming suit started to come off.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
and thank you
but
for that.
But also I'm going to sell these. I got these. But it was a great game. And like I say, it was a fantastic game. And President Mr. Cox, he saw it. And it was one of the best games. However, also at the same time, I'm selling DVDs to the community television. Laverne, they have a cable TV up there, and they taped the game. And we're selling these for $10 each. It's excellently produced, and also at the end they have the coach interviews the coach, and Mike Maggiore came off just like himself, just like a sincere, down-to-earth person who really cares for the team, cares for the teamwork and the success of the team. It's really, he came off fantastic, but it's a great tape. So I got these to sell. So far I've sold about 72 of them, and I'm ordering to make another order. You can get them from ASB or you call me up. They're $10 each, but it's a great a tape of the game. So anybody wants to buy them, let me know or call up ASB because I want to make a final order. And also I want to say is that we had certain people contribute because we have the the best department as far as the police and the fire of any surrounding cities. We gave 5 DVDs to the fire department, 1 to each station, and 2 to the police department. And we had certain individuals who helped contribute. First of all, Assemblyman Roger Hernandez donated money. Forrest Tennant, Forrest Wilkins, City Manager Andy Passmont, Audrey Lindberg, John Vaness. So they all contributed $10 each, and we gave 7 tapes to the police and fire. So I thought that was nice of them. Anybody else wants them? Secondly, I want to talk about something that happened. Is on November 22nd, when I went to ASB to buy my ticket for the game, I parked in front, and I got, for some reason, I got a parking ticket. It says no parking, and I parked there. I looked at it, and there was 7 parking spaces in the front as far as the public to park. And nearest parking, they were all filled. Nearest parking is east of Azusa Residential or Cameron Park. So I was a little upset or whatever. And wrote a letter to the newspaper complaining. And I thought the school district should expand their parking for the people in the front. And I want to tell you one thing. I got a lot of complaints from other people, but I got one of the biggest shocks ever had. So when I came to school, back to school, or drove by after the holiday break, the New Year's and Christmas break, they had opened up all the parking in front to the public. And I know there's sacrifice in some of the teachers, but a lot of us, we owe to you accepting, or of course, the principal. I would say one thing nice about the principal, what he said is this. After I got my first ticket, he says, if you have any more problems parking, and nobody's parked in my space, you can park there, Bruce. So I went and bought the championship, the ticket, the championship game. I parked in our principal's parking lot. I got no ticket. So I just wanted to say that. That meant a lot to me, but I know the staff made a sacrifice. And I've driven by, parked there 3 or 4 times since, driven by, and it seemed like they're always parking. It seems like it's resolved all the problem. Even the police chief said that this is one of his biggest problems in the whole city. And I think this alleviated greatly. Of course, the parking from, say, 7:30 to 8:30, you can't resolve that because everybody's bringing their kids. But from 8:30 to, say 3 o'clock when the school gets out, when all these people are coming in, various business, they could never ever find a place to park. So it's really greatly alleviated that problem, and appreciate the faculty cooperating, also the leadership of our principal, and I'm really happy that's happened. And I want to thank you, the school board, for approving it. So I want to thank you for that. And next year, go Bulldogs! Anybody want any tapes of the game, just call me up or call ASB. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. If I could just say, while Alex is still here, not only were we able to open up those spots, but we were able to do it without any complaints from the staff, and that really is because of the way that Mr. Rubalcava handled it. He moved his car first and expected people to follow, and so they did. And if you go there now, you will find parking right in front of the school. So thank you, Mr. Rubalcava, for your leadership in that.
And Bruce, when you say jump, we say... how high?
Also, in the final, I'm a big Bulldog fan. Just pass this around. I would jump anywhere for a Bulldog.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. Look at that picture.
All right. Next speaker is Vicki Shaliga.
Thank you. I would also like to congratulate our football team. It's about time they got into CIF, and I'm real proud of them. I have a couple of things. My husband is on the director, board of directors for something called AB Learn. They go around all the way from here to in other states. They teach illiterate children to read, children that have been cooped up in homes, in institutions. They go out and they teach these kids to read. And they came to me this weekend and said they have a huge amount of books they want to donate that are brand new. They're not English. They are Spanish, and they're for elementary and secondary school kids. So if you would like those, please contact me, and I will see that you get them. They would like to put them to good use.
Thank you.
The reason I'm here is not a happy one. And I see that Dr. Patton is here, so it's kind of a good thing that she is here. We've had a considerable problem for the last couple of years on unattended children in the area, up to an hour after school, 2 and 3 blocks away from the school, standing waiting for a pickup. It got to be really bad last week that I saw a young girl. She was on a tri-corner of Sunkist and I believe it's Yarnell, and on the other side I think it's, I can't think of the name of it, but she has been here all along. I see her quite frequently standing in front of the corner house. Now, when I spotted her, I had come around the far corner and I saw a car pull up. Didn't know if she knew them, but this car stopped, was talking to her, had rolled down the window, and she looked like she may have known them, but she didn't move from her spot, which was up against a block wall. When I pulled up behind the car took off. Now, up about 4 houses behind a car was a little boy, looked about 5 or 6, sitting on the little green belt area close to the car. And if you didn't see him from my perspective, you would not have seen him sitting there. He looked like he was trying to sit out of the sun. The car went by him, didn't stop. I have talked to Dr. Patton about this previously, and she tells me they have something they've implemented where some of her people get in a car and they go around and tell the kids, go back to the school and wait for your parents or your ride. I assumed, and that was probably not a good idea, I assumed it was one of their cars. So I followed them around Sunkist to Allwood, and they drove right by the school and down Willow. So I have to assume that they are not one of those people. I again saw this little girl the other day. She did not get picked up by her mother until almost 10 minutes to 4. And I tried to find out what time the school actually gets out. I think Monica asked one of the ladies here, and they said that the school gets out at 2:45. Is that true? 3:15. So they're only a half hour off the mark, but it's going up to 45 minutes. Somebody drove around in front of me the other day, actually had a child in the back of their car, so I'm assuming it was a mother, and I don't know if she works there at San Jose Edison, but she stopped at Allwood and Sunkist and saw 3 kids here, 3 on this corner with another 3 around the corner. And I think that's Glenmer. She motioned to the kids out the window, go back to the school. And she rolled down the other window and told the kids to go. And these were younger kids, So these little kids on this side all went across the crosswalk there, went back to the school, but one little African-American boy refused to get up and move. Now, I took off, and by the time I came back, somebody had picked him up. I stop and talk to a couple of elderly residents that are on that street. They are having a problem with the kids leaving trash. They, you know, I know it isn't fun to sit there and wait. So they sit down. They tell me they break the sprinklers. They play tag on the grass. They're just being kids. But in all reality, in our area, on that street, Glen Murray, we actually do have a predator that lives there. Unless you go on the site and look, you don't know he's there, but he lives there. We're having a problem with the parents' driving ability in that area. They stop in the middle of the street. The street on Willow, on one side of the street, and I believe it's west side on Willow, right directly across the street from the school, it actually says no parking, which means municipal codes say no parking, no stopping whatsoever. It's on that whole side of the street there. Unless you have a permit that you can get from the city, the municipal code says that they cannot stop, and inevitably, every day, cars are lined up. Now, to make it worse, the parents that park there don't go down to the crosswalk. They have one on one side and one on the other. They come across in the middle of the street. They go in through the back parking lot there. They bring their children out, and they make them cross right there in the traffic. It's not a safe area, and I know that the police have been out there, and they're going to continue to be out there, and it's my understanding that Dennis Patton, which is real close, actually said that there is a zero tolerance to their traffic problems in that area. They're illegally parking in red zones. They're parking in a no-park area. They're parking in front of fire hydrants. We've got them to where they're not parking in our driveways anymore or blocking the driveways, which we had a problem with before. But they're still doing a lot of illegal stuff, and the guys are riding. They're writing. They wrote 5 tickets the other morning. Last year they wrote 11 in one morning. The next day they came back in the afternoon, wrote 12 more, and towed 2 cars because the parents had no license. So this is a problem, and I don't know what we're going to do. We're trying not to call the police on the kids loitering, but there's got to be something that gets done to where the kids can stand in front of the school or inside the school ground in a protected area. They're just not protected in our area. I didn't only have 3 here and 3 here. I had another 2 up, another 50 feet, another 4 over here, and a car actually stopped, and they had the doors open, and neither one of these 4 kids got in that car. They were sitting there in the middle of the street talking to this parent or person that was there. I pulled over to see if they were going to get in. Not one of those kids got in that car. So, you know, we just have to watch what goes on with our kids a little bit better. They're not being protected. We always protected our kids when our kids were going to school. We never had this problem. I'm sure Mike Spence's wife picks up his kids right on time.
I wouldn't take that bet exactly, but anyways, I could talk about what went on in Willowwood when I was a kid. But
well, you know, we have to do something. So.
Oh, there is different, but I mean, but I didn't buy a house in one place over there because that's where everybody jumped over to go to the donut place.
Well, if we can look into what we can possibly do.
Thank you very much. Well, Superintendent, take a look at that. Next item on the agenda is the business session, organizational, the approval of the agenda and consent items. Is there anybody who would wish to add something to consent? Remove from consent?
Does number five have to be talked about specially, or can we just add?
You know what? Let's talk about it just to get an update.
Which one?
Number five.
I want to take off items 2, 3, and 6.
Two? Three and six?
Yeah.
Anybody else? And I want to have item number 16 removed. Okay, so I have removed from consent 2, 3, 6, and 16. Is there a motion, please?
I'll move.
Second.
It's been moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Mike Spence to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting, January 25th, 2011, and the removal of items number 2, 3, 6, and 16. That takes us then, Mr. Spence, to item number 2, the minutes from the meeting on... Oh, I'm sorry. Are there any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. So ordered. 5-0. Minutes of the meeting from December 14th, Mr. Spence.
Yeah, you know, I had a problem with these last time, and I know I submitted language for two of them, and I guess there's a different, I don't know whose language this is, it's in on for number 115, that just does a list of the stuff from the matrix. I don't know if that was language that somebody submitted or what
board
that was.
Board members submitted. This was submitted by board members.
Okay, I know it's different than what I submitted, but I didn't know
who
else has submitted language. And then 120, my only problem with 120 is, you know, because everywhere you read about how minutes are taken and stuff, you got to, you know, the last line is what bothered me, and that's what I took out of the version that I had sent, because there was never a discussion about the board decided to allow the funding as established at this time. We didn't actually make a decision because we never really talked about or reviewed or anybody even talked about taking away any of the programs that we were currently funding out lottery. It was really just several board members talked about things to look into for possible expenditures of lottery funds. And so we didn't actually, there wasn't like, oh, well, maybe we should do not do this or that. There wasn't that kind of discussion. So I want to strike that last line just because we didn't really do that. I listened to it again to see if I missed something. I mean, we didn't really talk about that. We just talked about other things. We talked about the history of lottery. I don't want to get into the time we bought microwave ovens with lottery money and the academic stuff that's in there. But, you know, that I would like to strike that last line because we didn't actually talk about that.
Anything else?
And that's it, and that's my motion. To approve it, taking out that last line of 120, and then I'm fine.
I'll take that motion, although I'll offer. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Any other comments, questions, changes, corrections? All right, so the motion is to make the one correction on item number 120 on the lottery report to eliminate the last line. It was moved by Mike Spence and seconded by Lynn Miranda Jimenez. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Item number 3, the minutes from the January 11th meeting.
Yeah, I pulled those because of items 144 and 145. That's on page 44 in the backup. And that's just because those information reports, it says it was removed from the agenda until tonight's meeting. Well, they're not on tonight's meeting's agenda. So I think it was just a more generic, they were pulled from that agenda that evening rather than a specific date. So that was my...
On which items? Or 141?
144 and 145.
I don't know if it was a specific date that was ordered.
You're saying no?
I remember at that meeting that it was because the person who needed to give the presentation was out sick, and so we were moving it to the next one.
Right. And that is correct. That is correct. It was moved to the 25th. And
it's not on this agenda now. So.
Right, and then I subsequently asked that we postpone it indefinitely, those two items.
Okay.
So the amendments are accurate. Minutes are accurate.
Okay, but they were not. Okay, but that's not on the agenda tonight. Okay.
Because Mr. Cox.
Okay, I got it.
Anything else?
Okay, that's it.
Is there a motion, please?
I'll move them as presented. I'll second.
It's been moved by Cammie Polis, second by Jessica Shoemaker, to approve the minutes of the regular meeting, January 11th, 2011, as presented. Any objections? Hearing none. Motion is so ordered. Item number four, an update on the management and operation of San Jose Edison Academy.
Okay, board members, you received something in your packet on Friday regarding the speech schedule, and you received via email information I received regarding some of the other items on the matrix. I forwarded that to you. So at this time, if you have any comments or questions, we'd be glad to try to respond.
Mr. Spence?
Not right now. No.
Jessica?
Not yet. I have to find something. And I'm not sure if it was on the matrix now. So can I just pull it up? I didn't bring it. Oh.
Yeah, mine.
Thank you.
Mine's bigger.
Oh, you want his is.
Oh no, you've got your glasses. So go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate the thoughts, though. Oh, for the extended school year, mm-hmm. Is there a date when we're going to know how many students actually qualify? I know they said they were going to start doing that in the spring. And where the students will receive services?
We don't know that as of yet, but we'll ask.
And then I'm glad to see that the speech, they've gotten that taken care of. The forms, I know, was another question that I was going to ask. The form 700s, they're still not done. So is that completely out of our hands now?
It's been reported to the LA County Board of Supervisors, and Dr. White said that Mr. Jackson would be calling me about his decision, but he hasn't done so yet.
And then about the anonymous letters. Here it says security cameras were installed on campus, not made public due to the nature of the situation, but the matrix is a public document.
It says confidential on it.
But so nobody else gets this matrix?
The matrix is public.
It's public.
Yeah, it is public.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it's confidential on this one.
They,
have a confidentiality responsibility with this item.
I called and asked if specifically about this earlier. So I'm not sure what that means. And do any of our other schools have cameras that are just focused on staff but not on students? I know we have them at Edgewood out, and it says, at least the last time I was there, it said that you were being filmed over by the basketball courts. There are certain places where there are cameras, but it always says you are being filmed. Do we have cameras anywhere else in the district where it doesn't have that posted, that you're being filmed or you may be on camera?
Not to my knowledge.
And can you film people without their knowledge, without that posted?
Yeah. It is my understanding that we're trying to get clarification on that item. Most of the time when you do have cameras, you let everyone know that you have them. In this particular case, I think that they're exploring, and my understanding is that the cameras are already up, but they're exploring whether they're going to explain this as security, how they're going to do it. I don't know that they have a plan to tell people, so we're still waiting for responses.
Well, now that I said it out loud,
we'll follow up.
Yeah. But we have had, in the past, we have had, you know, you know, how would I put it? Very
cameras.
Cameras.
Yeah, but
I mean,
it says it.
We've had for investigation purposes
yeah.
in the district.
I can think of two times off the top of my head.
All right. So anyway, that you'll just follow up on that. Let
yes.
us know just afterwards.
Yes.
And all right, we're done. Any other comments, questions?
Wait. I just want to make sure that that was it. And I appreciate you giving this to me.
But I know there were at least two times where we had cameras up and nobody was notified because the idea was to catch somebody doing something.
Right.
There's liability. Yeah. There's liability. Whether you did it doesn't make it right.
Mm-hmm.
There are issues about having done that, and there are issues about what the law says now about doing that.
I'm just saying that there were observations.
Yeah, I appreciate the observation, but we need to figure out what's legal.
Right.
Thank you.
And that doesn't mean what we did was illegal.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I can't. Do you know when that was?
One of them. Well. I don't know if, I mean, they, well, I the know. Employee, the, I know what one of them was, but the other, one
no,
of
No, years. I just want to know. I don't,
oh, I don't know. Years. I don't know. The one
1995,
was
1995, 6, 95, 4, 5.
The teacher one, right?
Uh-huh.
But then there was another one after that that dealt with, you know, I don't know how we discussed that right here publicly because that employee.
I just wanted to know a
year. You know, because there was criminal and there was personnel
because
stuff involved with it.
I don't believe there was anything since I've been on the board where we.
I think you were on the board for this last one. I do.
Yeah.
I think you were.
All right. Okay. Is there? Can I get a motion? For what are we going to do? To approve the actions deemed necessary? I don't. We didn't discuss any actions necessary. So,
well,
anyway,
I have
just
a couple of questions. I found my
okay.
page. One of the issues last year with. The kindergarten program was we approved the program but gave instruction to look into the legality of how the program was being handled. And I received a copy of an email today where San Jose Edison is planning to use the same screening device, which we have been informed may not be legal. And so I'm not satisfied to hear that Edison's going to use the same screening device when there's an issue. And because we don't want to run into like we did last year where we were voting on this item in June for a program starting a couple of weeks later, when are we going to find out the exact process? Because it's very clear, we want the exact process that's going to be used. Is it going to be open to all students as is required under the law, or are they going to follow the same process where individual students are picked? Those are questions we need answered because it's, you know, part of our oversight that Edison needs to follow all of the laws. Let's see. Ms. Pulis already brought up the cameras. The other problem I have is thank you for getting us the speech schedule. My concern, and it's something that we've brought up numerous times at meetings, is that when a student gets services for speech and you're doing the makeup, it may not be in the student's best interest that you do all of their makeup time in 2 weeks. It may not be beneficial for the student. It's not like, you know, you're sick from school for 2 weeks and you double up on your homework and schoolwork to catch up. That's not how speech therapy works. And in some instances, it can be detrimental to a student to have more services than they need and override what's being taught. And so has anybody gone through the individual IEPs to determine whether or not this is the appropriate way to do the makeup for the students? And that's, you know, okay. We still don't have an answer to that. I am glad to see that we do finally have a schedule, though. Let's see. I think that's really all I had for tonight. I mean, we're getting closer on some of the issues, but the main issues, which are special ed and, you know, what happened with the harassment claim, you know, has that been resolved besides installing cameras? Have you figured out who it is? Have you notified West Covina what the results were? We still don't have an answer to that. What else don't we have an answer to? I understand that Sandra Jewett and Tom McDowell have left the company. It's further my understanding that the person who is replacing Sandra Jewett has an interesting background in that he was terminated for cause from his last school district where he was superintendent. I would be interested to have this confirmed and find out how somebody who was terminated for cause on allegations of sexual harassment and fiscal mismanagement is now going to be in charge of our school. Other than that, we're where we are.
How do we find that out?
I will find out. Don't know.
All right. Anything else? Nope. Is there a motion then on this? I don't know what we're going to approve, but.
Well, we're not approving anything, are we?
I don't see that we're doing it.
What I had asked was for an information update on the status.
Right.
I wasn't asking for it to be anything to vote on. I just wanted information.
We got the information. There's no action on this item.
So it was discussion only?
Yeah. Item number five is the approval of West Covina USD to secede from the San Gabriel Valley SELPA.
We had a SELPA Superintendent's Council meeting on Friday, and the seriousness and discussions that we have had here at this board table are now being echoed in other districts about the concerns of the fiscal status and formulas and so on of our SELPA. At this time, the SELPA is not allowing new partners in as a result of our board rejecting the addition of that IQ Academy. So what's happening as a result is that on Monday, our business staff and special education staff will be at a meeting where they're going to look at the formula and its impact on us. We're still not where we need to be. We've made some progress in terms of getting information, but I'll give an example. Ms. Bastin and I were discussing that the new formula hits us another $200,000+, and they're trying to figure out what the provider program costs, what the money we bring in. So let me just say that probably in terms of this SELPA, they have made some progress. I'll give them that. And I think there's been progress made. There's new superintendents at the table that are asking hard questions. But I believe that it's in the best interest of our district to keep it open with them as to whether we find another option or not. So each year, once you've given it, you have to give them another year in the event that we find a different situation. There's been talk about several districts from there breaking off. And let me give an example. When Pomona left, they left us with deficits. And now we write to them, right? The East San Gabriel Valley writes to them, can you help us pay the deficit? And they're saying, no, thank you. And so that deficit has to be shared about with those of us that stay there. So there's a lot of concern, and I believe that as we have put pressure on this SELPA, they're better off for it, and there's new people trying to get this resolved. However, I find that there's other models that work. For example, the roll-in hacienda model seems to be working fairly well for them. They're bigger than we are, so it makes a difference. But we want to explore other options and just keep this on the table, which means we'd have to submit, based on your action tonight, whether you'd want to give them another year and a day notice.
Go ahead, Kim.
The incurred debt that when Pomona was in the SELPA, and they were there when we incurred the debt, are they going to take any action towards them to help pay that portion? Because their students were the benefit of that money. And just because they withdrew from the SELPA doesn't mean that they didn't get the benefit of those dollars.
You're absolutely right.
Is there anything we can do? That the SELPA can do?
We're discussing this with legal, and they're probably going to submit a letter to them in that regard. But in terms of there being teeth behind that, we're not certain there is.
Mr. Spence?
Yeah, at our December meeting and then at our last meeting in January, you know, I want to see the numbers of how that new formula works out, and I haven't seen that yet.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe I'll vote for it, you know, so we can start that process because we don't actually have to do it.
But, you know, I want to see how that new formula compares to that old formula, and I haven't seen that yet.
Right.
And I know I've asked for it, but I want to see how that all plays out, you know, for the district. And so when do you think I can actually see that?
Yeah, see, I want to see it too.
Yeah, I mean,
here's the situation. Here's what so far I know. I know that, for example, we bring to our SELPA about $8 million. I know that we get out of that SELPA in allocation $3.7 million. What we get in program providers and all of that, Ms. Baston and staff is going to go there Monday to try to figure out and get that information so that we can bring it here and discuss it with you, because we still don't have those answers. And so now these auditors or reviewers are giving more and more information, and the staff is very clear that they need to go and find out what are these provider programs. How do you determine that the deaf and hard of hearing is X amount of dollars? You know, because we're not doing it by billings. We're doing it by just giving the money. So we're trying to figure out. There were a lot of side deals, you know, that were done with the SELPA. Give me a portable and I won't charge you speech. Well, we don't know if we're ahead or behind on that deal. Do you see what I'm saying? So because the director's no longer there, the present director has tried to reconstruct with these auditors to the best of her ability, and there's a lot of holes. So now they've decided, forget all that, forget the past and the holes, let's start sort of like zero-based budgeting. So we're getting, I don't think we're going to zero-based budgeting, because there's debts to be paid, and there's a building that was bought for the SELPA and all kinds of things that continually cost money. Answer to your question, I'm very anxious to get that information. For sure we will bring an update at the next board meeting as to what we've learned from this one-on-one with these auditors.
Okay, and the second part of that is, you know, at one point, our position was we're being screwed over by LA County, right? That was our position at one point. And we had the SELPA come in here, Jack and everybody, and we talked about that, right?
Yes.
And now our position's changed, is that, nope, the SELPA screwed us.
Yeah.
And so, but we haven't had response to any of this from the SELPA, or heard from the SELPA, or any of that. And so, I mean, that's another thing that I think needs to happen, too, because I think I was much clearer on where we were as a district at that point than I am now.
Right.
And, you know, because, like you said, we don't have the numbers.
Yeah.
And I want to see the numbers. I want to see the numbers. I got to see the numbers.
Yeah, I agree. They the county was not giving us the numbers of what they were charging and what their services cost. All of that now is on a sheet of paper that has to be verified by these auditors.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like the Superintendent's Council has decided that the administrative unit, as you say, was not the issue, mm-hmm. even though they felt they should streamline it, you know, that it's a little bit of overhead that shouldn't be there. So right now the talk is, well, we're going to keep the administrative unit, but we need to figure out how we use the money in our SELPA.
Right, okay.
So, yes,
I mean,
you're
but
right.
I think both those things
right.
would be useful, actually having the numbers and then having SELPA explain and have an opportunity to figure out that stuff, too, like we did when we had a different position.
Yeah, we'll bring as much of that as we get.
All right, a clarifying question. You're talking about the auditors. Is it the I know that we had a special education audit here. Is it the SELPA's auditors that are coming up with these?
SELPA, mm-hmm, yeah. And we will have, hopefully, by the next meeting, some information on what our auditors on our program have said. We don't have the written document yet, but some of the verbal communications with Ellie have been that they see our problem with the SELPA in dealing with our review. So it always points back to these monies flow. One of the things we've been trying to do in the business office is, you know, show a flow chart of when the money comes from the state and where it goes for all of these things. So, for example, the only thing that you will be getting next time in terms of an action item will be the mental health services, because now the Department of Mental Health requires each of us, each district, to have an MOU with them, not with our SELPA.
Hmm.
So we'll be doing that. But as these conversations and these questions and these battles have been moving along, I think it's just made it that much better for people to redo some of the things that we don't feel were fair. Originally, they told us we would owe them $680,000, and now it's down to $200,000. I'm of the opinion that Mr. Frutos was of the opinion that they owe us $1 million, and they're saying we still owe them $200,000. So we still have a debate about it, but we'll bring you all the information that we can.
I have one more question. The mental health thing, is that because of the funding
yes.
problem?
Correct.
They want to have direct ones with us?
Exactly. Yeah. because the Department of Mental Health, my understanding is that they can get some reimbursed from the government, where now no one else can. So now they've become the body that will provide services and get reimbursed. So the buildings will come from us and them. It'll just be us and them. It's been taken away from the SELP altogether.
Where's that lawsuit? Do you know where the lawsuit is on restoring the funding?
No, they said that they would have something to us by February. So this MOU that we're bringing you will carry us out to June so that our services are still provided, but we'll know by hopefully the end of February where we are.
What is the significance of the year and the date from today, tonight? I mean, just
exactly
random?
It's actually a year and a date from whenever you give it to them.
So
basically, basically you try to go school year to school year.
Right.
But I think if they knew, they have to plan by January, I believe, is their deadline to say a district's leaving.
Okay.
And
so that's the relevance of doing this and doing this now. And again, by us doing this act, taking this action, does not, I mean,
doesn't bind us.
Okay. All right. Okay. Is there a motion on this item?
I'll move this item.
Moved by Cammie Polis, seconded by Jessica Shoemaker, to approve the West Covina Unified secede from the current SELP and explore options, joining other local SELPAs. Any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Next item is item number 6, consultant services agreements. Mike Spence asked that this be removed.
Yeah, and I asked to have this taken off. What exactly is our number of ELL students that are at the high school?
Mrs. Valentine.
We have 135 students as of this week, the most recent.
Right.
135 who are in ELD programs.
Right. And my concern about this is the amount of money that's expended on this. I assume, obviously, for example, the performances and stuff would be done for all students, not just the English language.
Correct.
Students. I mean, I'm just assuming that.
Yes.
Well, I can tell you a little bit more specifically about the program. The program during this semester will focus on two sections of the ELD, so about 25 to 30 students in each of those sections. Consultants will come out. They work with the students 1 hour during their class, and then the schedule was set up so the kids then work about another hour after school with the consultants in this program. And all of this is standards aligned to ELD standards. Over the course of the 16-week program, there'll be about, I think it's about 64 hours of instruction and interaction, both with the theater staff and the teaching staff. When you break that down, it comes out to about $5 per student for each of those sessions. And then, because there is a grant held by the theater group, they will provide another session condensed during our summer school program. So the portion that district funds or supplemental English learner funds are paying for would happen during the school year, and then a grant will cover another section that will be offered during the summer section.
That's something that wasn't here. I appreciate that. Because, you know, my first, you know, clinician, when I see 20 grand is, okay, well, why don't we just take the 20% at the bottom as far academically, you know, and they could get, you know, if you do $20 an hour, 40 hours of tutoring, you know, direct one-on-one tutoring for 40 hours, you know, and you're addressing the bottom 20% of those 135 kids directly. And so that's why, you know, I started thinking, well, and that's at $20 an hour tutoring. I don't know what tutoring goes for. But, you know, so I start questioning whether that's a better use of funds, especially 20 grand. If it was a few thousand, that's one thing, but 20 grand is a lot of money. I know they've done this in other schools, and, you know, their APIs and stuff have gone up. But when you look, all the APIs have gone up, you know, so it's hard to say that this program was directly, you know, related to doing that. So I start, you know, that's my struggle, because it's a lot of money for what I'm not sure what we're getting, when maybe a direct service to that kid, you know, that bottom 20% or whatever.
Well,
would
you
be
know
better.
That this is our compliance year, which means we're going to be reviewed for Title I, which will hit all kids, right? And each of the compliance requires that each fund for that particular student supplement whatever you're doing, correct?
Right.
So when you look at the students that you're talking about, they're our sort of Title I student, right? They're the students that we get Title I funds for. And well,
yeah.
Our poverty level is such now that it probably covers
I'm
most.
I'm sure there's some overlap,
yeah,
but not necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a program, and Ellie, speak to specifically the point of the other students that are below. What do they get? If these students get this, what happens when they're done with this group? When do the other students get involved, and how do they get support from the funds that are for those kids?
Right, yeah.
And so they come in maybe as freshmen, being beginners, so the distance they need to go to proficiency is far greater.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges with these students is, well, it's sort of multifaceted. Certainly, their acquisition of English. Secondly, their acquisition of the skills necessary to pass CAISY. And then third, to meet all the requirements for graduation. And that's why this group struggles so much. And one of the things, unfortunately, that happens is when the students struggle, they become very much disengaged. And this is a group then that just doesn't perform in any classes. So one of the goals of this program is to really foster confidence in their ability to be confident in language and speaking language. And though at the beginning, it's about reading small plays and working on fluency, by the end, they're writing the dialogue, and then the performance is their own plays, which
mm-hmm.
is very much
yes.
aligned to grade level standards. Because this is the first time that we have done this program, and it's just this semester, we wanted to start with the two sections, refine it there, and then, of course, as I said,
mm-hmm.
Grant will pick up a
the summer
in
part.
The summer, and then evaluate the effectiveness of the program. I will say that when we had a meeting at the high school with the staff was very enthusiastic and felt that the sort of physical activity, the real interaction, engagement of students was very much needed at the high school level.
Now this will be going on after school?
Well, it starts during the school day, and
okay.
so we...
Well, that's why teachers were enthusiastic.
Yeah. Well, no, because they're saying they're working the extra hour, and that's something that they...
commit to.
That they wanted to do
mm-hmm.
To give them the two-hour block. And it was that we thought that was going to be a hurdle when we went to the meeting, and it didn't turn out to be a hurdle at all. The teachers were very willing to do that and even suggested by the end some interaction with other groups. As I said, the high school had made some adjustments in their master's schedule to set up the classes that we would be focusing on so that they would on one day meet as their block, but then on the other day it runs, it's at 6:30.
It runs as this, yeah.
So those students will just continue to work straight through for the other hour. So it's actually then giving them a supplemental hour of instruction.
And what were the other options that were considered then to address those students?
Well, in the past, what we've been using are supplemental materials, but those supplemental materials are very much like the basic materials,
mm-hmm.
Which are, I would say, aligned to the CELT and CELT-like in
okay.
nature, things like images or pictures that students then respond to or interact with, talk about, conversations in class. I wouldn't say that they are as rich in maybe being connected to literature.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's more aligned to
That particular standard.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's my struggle. It just seems like, okay, well, let's take, like I said, let's take the bottom 20% and give them tutors 40 hours, and you know, and then, you know, so we can address specifically what that one student is struggling with.
Ellie,
you know.
Is this school site money, this $20,000, is this EIA at the school or district?
EIA.
I mean, EIA, is it district or school?
District.
Okay, so this is earmarked for these kids. Right, this can't go to any other student, correct? Okay.
Right, yeah.
And as part of your compliance review, you have to demonstrate how this money is being leveraged to supplement.
Right, it clearly has to be supplemental to the core program.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I understand that.
You're thinking that tutoring would be better for them? Is that what
well,
you're
I just don't know. I mean, that's why when we start looking at $20,000, I mean, that's a big chunk of money that you can do a lot of things with. And so, you know, the program, you know, it seems fine, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but that's a lot of money. And so I start wondering, well, $20,000, what can you do, you know, to address, you know, the difficulties that those kids are having?
Well, I think
because obviously at the high school level, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the problem you have in high school, you know, it's one thing to get a kindergartner who, you know, isn't fluent in English, but, you know, they don't have, you know, 15 years of learning it in another country, another language,
right.
Another country, and
right.
All that, and then, you know, suddenly you have that here. I get that.
That's
my question because it's just so much money.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that sold me, and that was just in looking at the expenditure, is that usually the teachers that tutor the kids are the EL teachers that fail the kid. Okay?
Well,
This program basically allows for professional development commitment to these strategies that are standard aligned, plus it's weaved into the regular school day and the after school. So it is sort of like the IB program that we're doing at Edgewood High School. It's a program that brings in experts to the classroom, works with the teacher. At no point is the teacher allowed to leave that classroom with anybody else. The teacher and their strategy is consistently done in the classroom and the after school. And so one of the things that you heard from Mark Trevattori is that when these teachers work together as a group to continue to refine these strategies throughout, they get that kind of effort. We've had tutoring programs for these kids. We've used Rosetta Stone for these kids. We've used, since I've been here, we've had the use of these money in different ways, and it just hasn't materialized in changing practice. So for me, anything that helps me change the practice for teaching these EL kids is an investment that is ongoing. It's not just for these kids. Once these teachers perfect that, hopefully, it will help all the kids that come behind.
Yep. Yeah. And so the idea would be after the year, then you'd see whether or not that did this.
Yeah.
This did that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So okay. Thank you.
It's a leap of faith.
Hmm?
It's a leap of faith that it's going to work. No. They have a very good track record. And the tutoring didn't work. I mean, we tried that.
Yeah. Well, get different tutors. Get different.
All right. Is there a motion for this item, please?
I'll second it.
Been moved by Arlene Ennis and seconded by Cami Polis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm a no.
Motion passes 4-1. Next item on the agenda is the item number 10, information report with William Valenzuela, KC, whatever. Lawsuit settlement, second quarter report, complaints and resolution.
Mr. Seaman.
We've been waiting in anxious anticipation.
Well,
it has happened. We have received our first complaint.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
Related to, under the parameters of the education code that governs or deals with William legislation. The complaint was filed by an employee. The district investigated the complaint and any of the issues explained in the complaint and found that there was no violation of the Williams Act legislation, though, and the complaint has been resolved.
How does that reflect? Now, there's a complaint filed, and there wasn't a violation.
Right.
Do they still show that we have a complaint filed against us then, or is that struck from the record completely?
No, the complaint was filed in relation to the education code, and so I have to report it to the county as a complaint filed in that area. Whether the complaint was resolved or not, that's what we report, so that we have one complaint filed, one complaint resolved. But the
legislation in the Ed Code is very specific as to what would be a violation, which none of that rose to a violation.
Thank you very much. Next item is item 11, to receive the district's initial proposal to the Teachers Association of West Covina for collective bargaining in the 2010-11 school year.
Mr. Seaman.
Okay, as you can see, as you can see on page 11A, this is our initial proposals to talk that we need to bring to you to receive and then declare a public hearing for the next meeting. So if there's anyone from the community that wishes to speak to any of these items, I don't know if they're, you don't want me to go through these, do you? Are there any questions or anything I could answer them? But all if right. not, then.
Nothing. All right. Is there a motion for this item, please?
Second.
Been moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Cami Polis, to receive. Oh, wait a minute. Now, this is to declare a public hearing on the February 8th, 2011, and adopt the district proposals following the public hearing. Any objections? Motion so ordered. Thank you, Mike. Item number 16, I asked that this item to be removed from consent, and I had asked to have an update on the Willowwood building, so I guess this suffices to get that information to me, yeah, whatever. But it talks about the Willowwood multipurpose building that's been now completed, and that was a project that you said was going to be done between the mid and end of January. Right? And it is?
Yes.
So that mean now that the school is completely ready for their utilization?
It means that the buildings are completely ready, and we're going to study the utilization of those buildings.
Study in what manner?
Well,
they weren't their rooms.
Those rooms, in my discussion with Dr. White, in terms of their usage, they do not have a plan that they have for the usage of those rooms in terms of any use for them, investment of them, you know, spending money on them. At this time, we don't have that proposal. I think it's something that, you know, they're looking into. But in addition, we have received several entities that want to use some of these kinds of facilities, both from the county and the SELPA, that we could lease out some of these types of buildings. Mr. Trevatori has indicated that he too, as his school grows next year, will need a band room of some sort. And so we will be bringing to the board any proposals that we get from anybody in terms of the use of those buildings.
What were they? What was the one that was damaged? Is that the one we're talking about, the one that was damaged, or we're talking about the other boardrooms, the band rooms?
We have two. We have two that have never been used.
The band rooms, the ones that had the asbestos.
There's a cafeteria, and there's a band room.
Right, and the cafeteria one is the one with the fire, right?
But they didn't use the, what was the home economic room, or the woodworking, what was that? The
shop.
Which
shop?
Because of the asbestos stuff.
Right, but they weren't. That wasn't in, it was part of Willowwood site, but San Jose Edison never utilized those sites. That wasn't.
Because of did they not utilize them because of the asbestos problem?
Well, that wasn't part of the general plan when they showed us how they were going to use the facility, because they weren't usable. And because I remember when Parents Place was looking for something, the preschool was utilizing those buildings when we were looking to lease. That was before San Jose Edison was there. And then because of different things they found, they weren't able to utilize them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know at one time we were leasing them to people, but never did San Jose. That was never in their plan, that we saw what classrooms they were going to use for the different events they had, because they never utilized them.
They couldn't use them, but we gave them so many
classrooms. Remember, we said you'd have this many students and this many classrooms.
Do
Do you remember when we were talking about E2 and there was long discussions about E2 and perhaps the use of different places and labs and whatnot? Then we had the issue that class size was raised and they had to close down the music and art. So I think what you're trying to say is that there's been a specific amount of the campus that is used by San Jose Edison Academy. Anything outside of that, we need to discuss with the board in terms of any proposals that we have, including theirs. They haven't submitted one.
But they did discuss the multi-purpose room.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I did see a plan for.
But they backed out of that one.
But that was a discussion of, and we didn't know that the PTO was utilizing the one area that in the cafeteria, mm-hmm. because when there was a fire there, that's when we had found out that it was being used as storage. Mm-hmm. But before the fire, we weren't aware that they were utilizing that facility at all, because it wasn't part of it.
We're going to bring you as much information as we can in terms of the entire district facilities and the use of the district facilities. We had a cabinet meeting today in which, you know, there are some portables for sale at auction. Do we need those? Do we need more restrooms at different places? Do we need to move the autism class from Edgewood High School to those Willowwood sites? Do we need to move? So we're going to look at it from a district's perspective based on needs and plans that are submitted to us, and then it'll be the board's decision.
Okay. Is there a motion on this side? Moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Cammie Polis, to declare that the listed projects to be substantially completed and authorize district staff to file the appropriate notice with the County of Los Angeles. The 10% retention funds can be released 60 days after the notice of completion is filed. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Board of Education discussion. Nothing more. Dates to remember. We have a Board of Education meeting on February 8th, and then Lincoln's birthday is observed on February 14th, and the schools in the district office will be closed, and that will be the only thing that I celebrate on that day, February 14th. There being no further notice to come before the board, we are adjourned at 8:32.